I'm waiting on Alex. Well, where's she going now?
They want this to be the applicant
to sidewalk. Ready? Alright. Did everybody sign the roster? Okay, everybody stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. El que necesite audífonos, el señor que está parado a la puerta los puede agarrar para que les interprete lo que estamos diciendo en inglés. Okay, roll call of officers. Board member Madera.
Present.
Board member Dolores.
Present.
Vice chair Ramos.
Here.
Treasurer Hernandez.
Here.
Of course I'm here. Okay, certification. Certification that the agenda was posted at least 72 hours before the meeting at Shaw Market, Biola Community Center, and Biola Post Office, and was signed by the secretary to the board, Elaine Cervantes, and was acknowledged to the board president as being correct.
Yes.
Okay. Adoption of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion we adopt the agenda dated for July 16th.
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. All right. Number three, request to address the board. ¿Alguien tiene algo? ¿Qué decir o tiene algo que discutir con la mesa directiva? No. ¿Nadie? Okay. Consent calendar. Do I hear a motion to accept these three items on consent calendar?
I make a motion we accept A, B, and C on the consent calendar.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. No old business. New business. Item six, new business. Item A, town hall. A plan for more sidewalks in Biola. Mr. Dwight.
Actually, this is it's a very exciting time. It costs a lot of money to put in sidewalks or water lines or sewer plants or whatever. And we're in the process of writing a grant and the County of Fresno is assisting us in this process. And so the purpose of this invitation for all of the community members to come tonight was to get some input from you about the sidewalk plan in Biola. And we want to show you on a map what we're thinking, and if you have any suggestions about how to do it differently, we'd really like to hear that. But one of the things that Biola has become known for in the county is its community input. That people here have a history of being very good at giving community input and saying, yes, this is what we need. But this is a pretty expensive project, and it's a number of sidewalks to get to significant places in town. But what I'd like to do is to be able to project those up on the wall and talk a little bit about them. Here's Biola. Actually, let me switch to this one. Shaw Avenue up here. And so what we're looking at here is from Shaw, a sidewalk on the east side of the street, all the way down to the post office. And what we're looking at is three phases. Phase one, or the first one, would be this one here, the main entry into Biola, and also a sidewalk from the community center over to the school. Along here should be a sidewalk here and a sidewalk from Shaw all the way to the post office. The second phase would be from the corner of the school, E Street, down 5th to G, and then making the turn over to that first building. And then on the other side of the old gas station, that little stretch of sidewalk right there. So that would be, excuse me, that's part of phase one, this one. So phase two is just this here.
On both sides.
On both sides of the street. On both the west side and the east side of 5th and the north and south side of G. If we have cost problems, we might have to cut one of the sides out. And then the third phase is along 7th Avenue from the community center here all the way down to the alley between F and G. Now, this project does not include curbs or gutters or drains that gets the water to a ponding basin. It doesn't include that. It's just a sidewalk, and there will be a space between the sidewalk and the road so that a future project would be to come in, put in the curbs, and then the drains over to the ponding basin. Drainage in Biola is always a bit of an issue. And as most of you know, there's two ponding basins. One over here on B Street, between B Street and the school. And there's another one down on the south side of town, on the south side of Polycell. There's a big ponding basin right here. But this ponding basin is only connected to drains over here on G and Biola. That's the only place. So it doesn't get drainage from a very big area. But the long-term plan is to get curbs and gutters and drains really in all of Biola. As all of you who live here know, there are certain places that have bigger puddles than others. As it seems to me, one of the biggest puddles is right here, a low spot up by Shaw Market, because they get all of the drainage off of Shaw, and it all seems to drain and puddle right there. And there's a few other places in town where water tends to pick up. But ultimately, that's our goal, is to get the curbs and gutters and drainage everywhere. Sir.
So basically, you're talking more of, at this point, a walkway.
Yes.
As opposed to full-on.
Yes. At this time, on this project, it's really just a walkway. It's a walking path. You know, I was afraid someone was going to ask me that. Dr. DeVito asked, how wide is the sidewalk going to be? And did you hear Elaine? How wide is the sidewalk going to be?
No, he didn't give us dimensions.
We didn't get dimensions.
He said the same size as around the school.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh, 3 foot. Probably about 4 feet.
3 feet.
3 feet. Okay, ma'am.
If you put that phase one that you said, that's not going to have any kind of drainage, right?
No.
Just the sidewalk.
Phase one is just sidewalk, no drainage. Oh. Well, none of them have drainage. Phase one, two, and three on this project are walkways only. And I guess, I thought it was 4 feet, but 3 feet, I guess, is what we're talking about. I know. It's just, we got to have one before we can have the other. And so there's not enough money to do it all in the first project.
What is it that we have to do to get, because I was raised in Herndon,
uh-huh.
And almost sidewalks, they got sewer lines, the county helped us with sewer lines. They also got driveways, not inside the property, but on the outside
So your question is, how come Herndon got all those things?
Yeah, what is it that we have to do in order for us to, and all the streets are curbed, all of them.
Yeah.
Herndon got annexed.
I think that's what happened, is I think the Herndon, when the city of Fresno annexed Iowa City, you're talking about Iowa City, right? That's a city thing. And so the city came in and put in all those curbs with driveways and the drainage and all the sidewalks. That was a city project. But we're in the county, so we're a county island, a county community. And so our roads are all done by the county. And so when you say, what does it take for us to get that? It takes this. It takes the us going through when we see an opportunity to get a grant to get this funded, because we don't have the money to do this. This is a really expensive project. We're looking at, they're talking like $1 million potentially. We're thinking it's going to come in less than that, because we're afraid if we apply too much money, we'll get rejected. And so, but we're looking at somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million worth of concrete on this deal. But you say, what does it take to do it? It's this. We have to look for grants, and then we got to aggressively go after them. But what the grant people really like to see, they like to see that the communities really care. That it matters to people who live there. And so when the board president was talking about make sure you sign in, we want to give a sign-in list to show that people, of all the people who signed and said, yeah, I want sidewalks in my town. And that will go in with the grant, your signatures, saying that, yeah, we want this. It's not just Reyes Lozano wants it, it's the whole community that wants it. And so yeah, what does it take? When you're a county community like we are, we just have to be organized and aggressive when grant monies come up. We're in the process of going for several other grants, multiple other grants, to improve our water system and our sewer system. But things take big money, and we want to identify what the problems are and then where the money is and then go for it. But thank you for asking that.
So on G Street, you're going to put sidewalk on both sides?
Down.
On West G Street from 7th.
5th?
From 7th.
I think that's 5th, isn't it?
On 7th Street?
No. Oh, 7th.
On G Street.
Here's G.
West G, yeah. You're going to put sidewalk on both sides?
Over here?
Yes.
Well, there is sidewalk on one side.
I think there is sidewalk here on the south side.
Okay, so my question is, the existing sidewalk, are you going to, there's some, it's pretty bad.
Okay. On the south side?
Right, is it going to be repaired?
I don't know if that's in the scope of this project.
Because it's pretty bad.
Okay.
So you're going to have a brand new sidewalk on one side and at some extent that's partially missing sidewalk.
Well, we can write it in. And then see what it does in the total.
I mean, it's great from Iola down school and all that, but the main focus has always been downtown Iola. And having nice sidewalks on both sides, it just gives it a better look, at least for the downtown area.
Okay. Good input. Thank you. Sir.
Do we know how long it would take?
Well, that's a two-part question. Because the first part is, how long would it take before we find out if they're going to give us any money? That's the first question. I'm not really sure. But I think it would be probably another few months. Probably before the end of the year. And then how long would it take? Then we have to go out to bid and get concrete contractors to submit bids on how much they would it would cost to do it. That takes a while, and then we have to actually pick one of them, and then they have to order all the material and do it. So we're in July of 2015, so I was thinking if everything went well, we could have sidewalks before the end of next year. You know, that's about maybe less than 18 months from now. But that's a good question. because people think this stuff happens real quick and it doesn't. It seems like a long time to me, but that's on grant project kind of a timeline. That's realistic, about an 18 month or 17 month timeline to do all that. But thank you for asking. Does that seem long to you or short?
It seems like a medium length of time, but isn't there going to be a lot of noise from all the concrete, the raising the concrete and laying it down and everything?
Maybe. Some. Probably not as noisy as the water lines we just put in on Bio Lab. That was a lot noisier. So it's a big equipment. So what do you think? Might keep you up at night? No, they're going to do it all during the day.
I think it's a really good idea.
Okay, good. Good, I think it's an awesome idea. Thank you.
You want the light back on?
I don't know.
Other questions? Concerns?
Will this help any other projects that we have, like mine, such as parks? Or
great question. Great question. Will this help other projects? Because we do have other dreams. In mind, one of the things that we've been looking for is the idea of a park in Biola. And where would we even put a community park?
Where do you think would be a good place for a community park in Biola? Any suggestions?
Right back at the end of G and Howard.
G and Howard over by the Raisin, Biola Raisin? G and Howard, like...
Where were
here? Oh, here? This place?
Oh.
You're not talking about the...
The USDA actually did the... If you're coming east on G, it's on your right-hand side.
If you're going east on G, it's on your right?
Yes.
That's where Polycell is, isn't it?
No, it's
no, it's the
Steiner.
Company.
But the county yard?
So what's next to... Oh.
Between 2nd and G... Second and G?
Second and third? Oh, second and Howard. Oh, this space right here.
The big empty space where they used to store bins and stuff?
Okay. That's actually four different lots, and I believe there are four different owners for that. Which makes it very difficult to have a conversation about buying it, because you're talking, you want it to be one big piece, and it's not. And so it's a complicated piece. That's a great idea. It's also pretty big. Any other ideas about a place? Where would be a good place in Biola for a park?
I think you want to keep it kind of in the center of Biola, if you can, because the graffiti and all the problems you'll have, if you put it on the edge of town, nobody's going to be around to watch it. You get filled up, and I was going to work myself, but we're going to get the field workers coming in and stuff like that.
Where?
Sleep there, you might have homeless people coming in. These are just ideas of going out.
Sure. Where in town would be a good place, do you think?
Well, we're talking about beautifying downtown Biola. Why not the corner of 5th and G Street?
Right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steiner Place.
We've seen Biola Carnival before.
Well, there are two lots there. One on the south side that's a little smaller, and the one that's a little bigger on the north side.
Actually, I'd like to interrupt. Is it Mr. Contreras?
Yes.
Can I ask you to come up here? We asked Mr. Contreras from Central Unified School District to come tonight, too. Thanks. Yes, have a seat, brother.
Let me get back to the sidewalk project, because one of the things that we were hoping he could share a little bit is
The school district has some plans for construction on
Biola Elementary School, Biola Pershing. That's what we've understood anyway. And we're kind of hoping you could talk to that. What we've understood is that the tree line along here was going to come out, and that was going to become parking.
That's correct.
And that there was going to be like a multi-purpose room right in here.
Correct. The current library building would be removed.
Oh, it's going to come out.
Right. And then right in that area is where the cafeteria would be constructed. And then the existing library that's the existing cafeteria.
Over here.
Right, would be converted to the new library.
Oh, okay.
Put the other picture, the green one.
Right here, though.
Okay, Here's, let me zoom it. Okay, here's the existing library.
Right. So that gets demolished, and a new cafeteria gets constructed in front of that, going along parallel where the play equipment is, you see just directly to the west.
Oh, over here?
Right, so it'll parallel that sort of. And then if you see the parking lot, that'll continue right on through in the front of the campus. So that row of trees would come out.
The row of trees would come
right
out.
And the sidewalk gets constructed, ties into the existing walkway, and that'll continue around the corner. So it'll tie
all around the corner?
That's correct.
Oh, the parking will?
The parking will stop, but we're going to continue the improvements to tie into, I think that's an existing sidewalk.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, we'll tie into that.
I see. So they'll have sidewalk all the way along Viola. Because part of what why it was pretty important to have you here is we're looking at a sidewalk project on along Viola on the east side from Shaw Avenue all the way down to G Street, down to the post office, a little south. But the other thing that came up in the conversation was lighting. Right now, we're told that it's pretty dark by the school. And so one of my questions for you is I'm anticipating there'll be some lights along this parking.
There would be parking lot lighting.
And so that lighting would essentially light up all of Viola Avenue so that walking that sidewalk in the evening it would be lit up.
Well,
or some light.
Well, our parking lot lighting would be directed towards the campus. It would not be directed towards the street. Does that make sense?
Yes. So the parking lot would mainly be down and towards the campus.
Correct.
But I don't know. Would there be? Would you be able to see anything on the east side?
I'm pretty sure it should be something
from those lights.
So, yeah.
I would think so.
It would cover a lot.
That it would cover. You'd get some lighting from that. Okay. So parking and sidewalk all the way around the school. Because the other part of our parking, our sidewalk project, they're talking about taking sidewalk on E Street, the corner of the school, and going down Fifth to G, all the way to G. We're talking both sides of Fifth, so that anybody on south of the school would be able to get to school on a sidewalk as soon as they got to Fifth. Coming from the south.
When's the start date, or what's the timeline on that project?
That's where it gets complicated. We are dependent on Measure B funding, bond dollars, but because of the decline in housing values throughout the nation, we need the values to come back so we can have the revenue for tax revenue. Support Measure B again.
Okay, could you hear that?
No.
He was saying the school district passed a bond measure to improve things, but the bond measure is related to the property taxes on the houses in the district. Housing values have gone down, the money for building stuff went down too.
That's correct.
So there's less money to do all of the things that were on the school district's list of improvement, which was this building and this parking lot, and so on.
Kind of like catch 22. I mean, we can't improve Viola without the money, but we need money to make our office more valuable.
Okay. Yeah.
The next one a bit further is that it's sort of like a mortgage. So whenever we can afford someone, if you want to borrow more, that means that there would be another issuance, and then the taxes would go up based on that $60 per $100,000 of your assessed home value or property value. So, and that's what was passed under the bond measure. But if we can't generate the revenue to support it, then we can't go out for another issuance because we'll exceed that $60 per $100,000. And we're limited by statute. We can't do that. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why, even though it doesn't look like your property taxes have not gone down, but at the same time, they can't go up.
At one time, I believe, they let that sidewalk into like what is like a pavement, like...
It has asphalt there right now.
Well, that was left there contingent on this project, on the remodeling project at the school. But they didn't do it because I heard that the water was not, had enough pressure to do that project. So...
What do you mean?
Well, they had said that the project of the school wasn't going to be done because of not enough water pressure due to safety.
Right. I heard that one too.
Does that make any sense to you?
I actually understood that the delay was because they were going to tear down the library area or build something.
Right.
Like he explained. I thought that was the reason why there was a delay.
Our issue is solely because of funding.
Yeah.
We have approval for building the school.
Well, they were going to do it before, and then they cut the project off due to...
Right. And we had to collapse in the bond measure and whatnot, where we could not do the further to the borrowing.
My question would be, how is that going to delay us with the school sidewalks?
I mean, not at all.
Are we going to have to postpone at least that area?
No, our project is unrelated to the school's project.
Because I thought that because they're going to have, you know, a lot of construction going on, that was going to damage any new sidewalks, that they're going to need access to come in and out. Is that not correct?
Well, originally we were thinking if we put a sidewalk on the west side of Biola, on the school side, that would be true. But we're not talking about doing that.
Oh,
we're talking about only doing it on the east side.
Okay.
But part of what we were thinking about including are lights. In different places where there needed to be lights. And we met with the engineers today, and they said they advised not to do that. They were afraid it would compromise the project, that if we added it, that our chances of getting the grant would lessen if we added lighting to the project.
I was just thinking that should be included when you guys do the curb.
Yes, and I think I absolutely agree with you. He said we should add lighting when we do the next phase of the curbs and gutters and drains.
I think we can bypass it for a while because I believe PG&E was going to update the lighting that's in town now.
They are, but I don't know if that affects the pathway by the school.
I'm sure it would help it quite a bit.
I thought we didn't have lights by the school.
We don't.
Right. So the PG&E, we have 43 streetlights in Biola that outside of the new section. And your taxes pay for the lighting bill for those. And we've asked PG&E to come in and put better lights in. And we're on their retrofit list to improve the lighting. But that's a different project. But we really want to know if there was... the lighting on the school side too. Because I think even though they're not pointed towards the street, I think we would get, that would help the path, walking pathway even on the east side. I have to believe it'd be better than it is now.
What was the time frame though? I mean, when they first projected this and before the economy went down a little bit, what was their first
original
time frame to have this complete?
What
do you think
about now?
Now?
Yeah. Well, they started to do some things.
2010?
They did some of the playground work. They put some lighting there. They put the jungle gyms and all that playground stuff, and then they stopped the project.
Well, this is a pretty big one, tearing out that building and then putting...
It's about a $4 million project.
Would qualify as big for us.
For just the library?
For the parking. For the cafeteria parking and the conversion of the library.
Okay.
And that includes the internally where the current cafeteria is.
Right.
Yeah.
Philip.
I have a question for Mr. Contreras. I thought that the measure was not only on property tax, but it also had like a 0.5% on sales tax.
No, it's only
strictly property tax.
That's correct.
Yeah, I had a question. I'm not sure if I can describe it. I heard that they were going to do some improvements on the
yeah, you missed that. I'll let you take that.
Where the current library is, we're going to demolish the library and continue the parking lot through down, would be to the south, okay, down the corner.
E Street.
Right. Paralleling where that playground equipment is, that's where the new cafeteria is going to be at. All right. There'll be an amphitheater to the west side of the cafeteria.
Over right here.
On this end over there, that little indicator the sign's at, where those trees are.
Right, right over here.
That's where the amphitheater will be.
Okay.
All right. Then the current cafeteria that's there now, we're going to convert to a library media center.
Okay.
Okay. Inside. So that all will happen at the same time when we do it.
That'll be a nice space.
That library, if that goes all through, that library is going to be exactly like it is right now?
No, the new library will be much larger.
Yeah, because, you know, some of us like to read and we don't have the means to get into town. And I say, oh, great, I'm going to vote and all this other stuff because it's going to be a library. I go there and sure, I'm able to get a book or two that I can read from there. But you can't return the book there and you only have a specific time that you can get there because of the children. I know that's a priority, but
and the county, if the county function. Yeah, right. So it would still continue on as a joint use with between the county library and us. Down the road, hopefully something else may happen, you know, where maybe the county will eventually build their own facility. So when we do do ours, we will continue the program and here in the community. All right. Yes, sir.
The current library, is that the portable building?
Yeah. Yes, it's like a little metal building sitting out the front.
Is there a possibility that a nonprofit from this town can acquire that building?
That's a possibility.
If somebody wants to know about it.
There's a mechanism that we can do.
Right.
But in some cases, so it depends on the building and how it's structured inside the ground. Yeah. If it does have some steel columns and things like that maybe anchoring it.
Yeah.
Then there's some issues with the state and building codes. As long as it's on our facilities, then we deal with the state for building codes. Once it leaves our facilities, then you fall into the city or the county or wherever local jurisdiction goes. Yeah. So that would
change. We're thinking about it for the Chamber of Commerce. We have our own building, each place. The veterans would probably share along with it. But that was something we had discussed a long time ago.
Ray, did you have a question?
I did, but he answered it.
Okay.
I just wanted to highlight, I understand, you know, the delay in the school as to why they can't do complete the sidewalks, but I just want to highlight that it's actually a hazard, a safety issue for children who walk down that street, who walk to and from school, because on heavy, rainy days, it gets completely flooded. I know it got a little bit better that you guys, they had put that temporary pavement or walkway there. However, it still becomes really flooded and it just, I mean, at times kids can't even get to school, let alone, I mean, it's a safety issue because they're now getting onto the main street to walk around these heavy puddles. But I just want to emphasize the importance that we need a sidewalk along that strip, along the school.
We agree.
Sidewalk, wouldn't it be wise to see if we could go for both sides of the street?
No.
Well, the thing is, it is going to be on both sides. When they get through with what they're going to do at the school, it'll be both sides because if we get the monies, we're going to be fixing that. Put sidewalks in on the other side.
Well, we just got a grant to put sidewalks on Viola Avenue, more sidewalks on Viola Avenue. So that's going to happen.
On both sides?
Well, on the west side, going towards the school. We just were awarded a CDBG grant for sidewalks that will take us, doesn't it take us all the way to
East
Street?
Yes, to the school.
All the way to the school?
Yes.
So we're going to have, by the end of, you know, by a year from now, we should have on the, that one side, and then after this project, we'll have sidewalk on the east side. So, and after their project, we'll have pretty much sidewalk from G to Shaw.
Yeah,
almost both sides.
Everybody says, where you live? Oh, that's like, they're talking about, like, this is a ghetto town. And I figured if at least the road going into the town looks nice, at least, you know, it kind of like represents us a little bit.
You know, what we have been doing since the new board came on board is we've been going after grants every year. And every year we've been lucky enough to get grants either for water or sidewalks. That's why you see little pieces done here and there. But it's because we've been grateful enough to get the grants. I know money doesn't go very far when you're dealing with the government, but we're getting something done. So it's been slow, but every year we've been awarded $300,000.
And 30 years, this is the most I've seen.
Yeah, but it's, we finally got the mechanism to do the work, and it's been working.
We just put in over $500,000 worth of water line in the last few months. And we've got another, and before that, the sidewalks last year down here on G, that was what? $300,000 project,
$200,000?
Yes. You know, so we're getting a lot of grant money to improve Biola. It just takes, you know, an aggressive board and just going after it.
And the committee that's up here right now, because I have never seen nothing happening here in Biola. Thank you.
Well, the thing about it is grant money goes to people who have a plan and who have their act together, and you have a community that's behind them. And that's why this is such an important conversation tonight.
Can I explain to them how you got that information with the people that
live
over there and the
Dr. Fiam wanted me to remind folks that the last sidewalk project that we just were awarded, and I can't remember, it's $250,000?
Yes. No, but $220,000,
$270,000. Anyway, $700,000. But the reason that we were awarded that, because at the meeting at the county, when they were deciding who to, what grades to give each grant, and we're competing with Tranquility and Brothers and all these other communities for grant money, and all these other communities have two people show up, or one. And Biola gets there, and there's 22 people crowded in this little room saying, we want this project. And so that's the kind of thing that makes a difference on the people who are making decisions about who gets the money, is that this community really cares. And so we're trying to leverage that, and that's why we're so appreciative that you're all here tonight.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I never show up, because I have never, every time I show up, I never see any difference in the town.
Well, it makes a difference
now. Now that you're telling me that, and that I see something going up, I'm going to be coming and I'm going to be dragging everybody.
Bless you and everyone you love. Mr. Khalifa.
Basically, the greasy, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
And people are just having enough. Joel Savannah has been a great champion from the chamber, the veterans. We're all getting involved, and we all want the town to prosper. I live out in a little ways, about 3 miles from Park Community. I grew up in this town, making water trees and watching the Bowery's Day Parade. And, you know, it's my own town. All right? But if you don't make any noise, it's never going to happen. And we're finally starting to realize we're on the map.
Well, you have to communicate the notion that Biola is a community that cares about itself and it has a plan. So, it's. I think we've got some good momentum, and I'm very optimistic and confident that this is gonna go somewhere.
I have a quick question.
I think that Dwight Miller needs to be commended because he came on board and he's got a plan.
Yes.
He's directing the board members and
I had a quick question. I know it might be difficult for you to answer, but do you guys have like an approximate time where you guys think this there might be a turnaround and we can get that project going?
One of the things that we are considering and doing a lot of research and planning on,
Marcus, sir, could you speak this way?
Is that this year, actually, excuse me, next year, 2016, that we are looking at possibly proposing another bond note. We would sunset Measure B and then come out for another bond, but we're still limited in how much we can borrow. Again, we're still dealing with that mortgage factor on what you can borrow from your community. And it's across the entire, you know, school district that when we go up for bonds, you know, people vote on it and it considers all of those property values on the total amount of dollars that can be borrowed. Again, capped at $60 per $100,000 in assessed value. It's something we're thinking about. There's a couple of things that are happening at the state level. Typically, that the state has promoted school bonds on their end. It can only happen on even number of years. So this past year, 2014, was the first time in probably 12 years that a school bond wasn't passed or even put on the ballot. Currently, our governor is not happy about having school bonds. He's looking forward to that. So he is trying to come up with another mechanism where possibly they provide some sort of annual grant to school districts, and then it would differ based on your hardship. In our case, we may fall under hardship because we're capped at how much we can borrow with local bonds. So in comparison, if you were to say Clovis, maybe they would give $250 per student and we may get something like $1,000. And those are just examples. And I don't know if that's something they're proposing, but it has kind of been tossed out there a little bit. But just give you an example how that would work, because in Clovis they can pass along to this on something maybe they would just more property values or less. And that would be a possible funding mechanism to move on with some other projects. At the same time, though, the question comes, we have a need for a $100 million high school in Central Unified. If you can only borrow $30 million, you're quite a bit short. If the state doesn't have the funding mechanism to fund, you know, the other $70 million or $80 million that it may take, then how do we come up with the money? So we're in that catch-22, we're stuck. So the only thing that really helps is that you have more development in your school district, in Central Unified, the property values go up, and that smooths that ceiling that we can borrow, and, or again, have to be more bonds or something to come up with a method to fund our future projects. Otherwise, it's going to be a slow growth for a long time.
Yeah. So on the priority list of district projects, is the high school the first priority, or? How big of a list is your?
Where are we on that list?
Yeah.
Or more significantly.
Let's back up a little bit. Years ago, when we first proposed Measure B, and we looked at the older schools, and we actually had a ranking list. And we were assigned points to schools that had the most impact. They were the oldest. Sites had the most need. They had been modernized. And we looked at, it was like Madison McKinley were the top number two, I believe. Roosevelt was third, and Biola fourth. West Campus was in that mix, you know, and we saw a lot of things happening at Downtown. After we built Glacier Point because of the need we had for too many kids at Downtown and in Rio, then, you know, that was a big chunk of our borrowing capacity at that time. We've actually only borrowed $60 million out of the $152 million that was given as authority to the district. But out of that, we've been able to get another $20 million from the state for matter of funding. We actually have another $10 million sitting at the state that's in line for funding. We may have those projects just sent back without funding. Depends on what happens. So they've been there for years. They've been there for several years. So we'll wait to see what happens with the state.
It's a big deal.
It's big. It's big and it's tough.
I think Phil was next. Your question.
Two parts. One, whatever we can do to advocate as a community for for our school. Let us know what we can do. We'd be glad to do it. And then two, I just wanted to bring, or Dwight, to bring the attention to members, or the people that attended tonight, what the county said to us today. What did Chai Wagasan, who is the guy who's spearheading the sidewalk project under the county, said to us, in all the years that I've done this, I have never, ever seen this much community involvement. You guys are onto something out there. So when you have people that are advocating for us within the county, and these are being echoed throughout the county, we know we're doing something right. So there's been some meetings, so I want to give kudos to the board and the board members that have been attending, and of course, the management that have gone to these meetings that are really, really critical, and they're all noted. They're all noted. The county's applying for these funds for us, and it requires site plans, engineering work. There's about $50,000 or $60,000 worth of money that the county's going to absorb on our behalf. Now, granted, if we get the funds, we'll have to pay that back, but there's no way we could apply for these funds on our own. The community doesn't have $50,000 or $60,000 to put at risk to say, we're going to take a chance. If we get the funds, great, we can pay ourselves back. So we owe a great deal of gratitude to Fresno State and the South King Valley communities. They have, or development, they have really advocated for us. Between them and the community board, the county, we took on this project and said, we are going to apply for those funds for Viola. And this is the only community that the county is going to apply for funds. So we stand a really, really good chance of getting these monies. There's a total of $3.9 million in Fresno County wide, but that includes all the cities within Fresno County and the city of Fresno. So 25% of those funds are going to go to impoverished communities. So basically four communities. That's a total of $975,000 are going to get allocated. Now granted, there are other communities that are applying for these funds. But what I'm saying for you guys showing up here tonight, it really pushes the envelope a little further. It really enhances our chances of getting these monies because they're all noted. So it's really, really critical. Like you were saying, when you come to these meetings and you learn a little bit, go back and teach somebody else. Teach your neighbor. Bring somebody else here because it's critical. Their voice does count. Their signatures count. And I just want to applaud just the community as a whole, but I don't want to leave Fresno State out for them going out and advocating for us, and of course the board, because they're very, very proactive. So we're really onto something here that we can continue to improve this community. And they're working on economic development. They're working on infrastructure. They're doing everything they can to improve the quality of life in this community, which we all live for. So it's critical. Kudos to everyone.
Philip Bell is saying he is the president of the Viola Chamber. And I do want to give kudos to the chamber because the original connection for this grant came via the chamber. And people kind of discount the chamber, but the chamber has elevated to a good level where they are gaining more respect to the point where the county is recognizing us. And people come to our event and are starting to acknowledge the existence of Viola, where in the past it was very little. So kudos also to the chamber.
I actually just wanted to echo Phil basically just to share that I forgot my train of thought. I did want to say that it is very important that we do all come together as a community. But what I was going to say was, you mentioned that sometimes these grants or measures or whatever are based off of like the importance of like either safety or the need and all of that. I mean, is there something that we can do to kind of express to whoever's making these decisions as to why we feel like we need it? As I mentioned earlier, it is kind of like a safety issue around the school area as to why we need the sidewalks.
Pictures.
I'm referring to, is there like a meeting or something that we can go to?
Well, there's always a school board meeting, yes. Okay. Those are posted when they have. Okay. You can always post voice your opinion at the comments from the public. You can do that. You also have your school board member that represents you. I think it's Rhonda.
Yes. Yes.
He's been very active on it. We're very happy to lose.
Another question, Mr. Chair. Our library, it's Beezer School Library here as a public library. The hours there are really limited. Is there any way we can get that extended? And because you guys, when they are open, which isn't very often, it's packed in there. And you got kids that are deprived of a lot of knowledge. Is there anything that you can do to...
Running the program is actually under my...
You have to talk to the county library people for that.
Exactly. What I will do is I'll go back tomorrow. I'll talk to the site folks who run the program and convey your concerns and see if we can do something to extend time.
Does the county contract with the district to operate their program? So it's the district staff?
No.
So it's separate county staff that come into the library?
That's correct. And so they fund their own staff, and that's it. But they use our facility, right, and then our staff comes in behind, and they do the lockup, cleanup.
Right.
Isn't the library open on Saturdays also?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Can I kind of chime in? We'll check just
chime in, Joe.
The county takes census, so our census are really high. So it's building our case to hopefully at one point in time when they do restabilize themselves and their funding sources, that we are potential cycles they're looking at to build on. And part of that is because the census are there. And a lot of libraries, they open them up and nobody comes. Ours is full. So they take a registry of how many people go in and out of that library, so it's real critical that people continue to use it. I know it's not what we need today, but it's better than we had a year ago before the program started.
Is the design of the new library considering the fact that it's a joint use?
At the time, the original drawing did not show it, you know, for a joint use. But what I've seen, what we actually did to accommodate later on, it's not that big a change. It's more furniture layout and okay. Shelving and something that these
minor things.
We wanted one like Tranquility.
Brothers.
Totally separate.
Yeah, it's a totally separate deal.
I'd have to chime in also with what Chuck was saying. I've been to that library. Those kids won't be around those computers. You can't get very useful. They're using
it. How about the tablets? Are they at home? Are they using the tablets that they sit home? And not every grade level gets to take them home, but high school and middle school.
There's a signal out here.
Most of them didn't work.
Most of them didn't work? Really?
I had troubles with them.
Wow. 4G?
Service out here, satellite, or just...
Yeah, that's what we were concerned about.
That's part of the problem. The cell service here is not that good.
I guess we'll be at the next board of...
I sort of like to tell everybody that we're in competition with all of those communities, and they're wanting to get money for their communities, and they're trying to put us down for them to get the cash. And when they have people and they see that, that overrides the other communities by a big margin. So it's real helpful to have people go to some of these meetings and voice their opinion about what their needs are. Very important, because they're telling our county board of supervisors that, hey, why is Biola getting all the money? They're like that, you know. So when people show up, they say because people from Biola show up to meetings.
Why don't you tell them what board you sit on while you have first-hand information on that?
I sit on that board, the CDBG fund board. I'm the chairman of that board. And I hear firsthand of what these guys are saying from Tranquility and all. But I have to fight with them and tell them, hey, you have sidewalks. The only place you don't have is one block. I don't have none. So you have to get to find with these people. And they're there telling the supervisor. I talked to him today and explained to him about why we deserve it compared to other communities.
We got some catching up to do.
Yeah, and that's what I told I said, Viola has not been involved in any grants for 40 years. Why? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we actually have a couple other things we'd like to talk to the community about before you leave. Don't go anywhere. But as far as Mr. Contreras and Central, are there any other questions for him before we let him go?
Thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you very much.
Leave the cards at the door.
Yeah, very helpful. Well, this is great. We're going to incorporate all of this into our narrative and into our document in writing this grant, and it makes us feel very confident that our chances are good. A couple other things I wanted to share. Yes, what Sylvia's asking is that 15 years ago, the Viola community came up with a strategic long-term plan for all kinds of different things to improve the community. Dog control, sidewalks, lighting, park. These same conversations were held by Viola people 15 years ago. And so some of you might remember, if you've been around that long. And it just kind of went on a shelf and got stuck. And so the things that people said 15 years ago were good. The same kind of things that people would say now. So what I talked to somebody about before, what she's referring to is the idea of taking those plans and revisiting them again with 2015 people in Viola. But right now, while our focus has been so much on these sidewalk grants and wastewater grants, I just found out today, I got a phone call. I haven't had a chance to tell the board. I got a phone call from the state saying that they're going to pay for a feasibility study for us to look at the possibility of putting in a water recycling at our wastewater plant. Right now, all of our sewer water goes out to those ponds and percolates down to the ground. Okay, it's called aerated pond systems. Some places, Fresno for one, has a place where the sewer water comes in, it gets filtered, then disinfected, and then you can use it to farm. Actigrow could use it for their fertilizer. NutriAg could use it for their fertilizer. We could pump it over to the school, and the school could irrigate the ground with it. It's not quite for drinking, but it's for everything else, crops. And so we just got funded for a plan because it takes a lot of money. It takes like $150,000, $300,000 just to put up the engineering to find out if it's possible. And we can't pay for that, but they just told us that they would pay for that.
That's good.
And if that happened, that could save us 2 million gallons of fresh groundwater a month. We use about 10 million, 11, 12 million gallons a month in this town.
Yes.
And it takes about 500,000 or more just to water the lawn at Viola Elementary. And twice that at Actigrow. And Polycell and Nutrisil. So what we're trying to do is save groundwater by taking our sewer water and recycling it. So we just got funded by the state to possibly do that. And see, the district has 5 acres of grapes right next to the sewer barn. And we could use recycled water to irrigate our own grapes instead of groundwater. So there's lots of possibilities there. We also are getting a grant, or we're looking into a feasibility grant to put in all new water lines. All the ones that we haven't replaced already. We still have a lot of old lines in Viola under the ground, and all of the valves that are in the intersections that close and open, a lot of them are bad. Some of the fire hydrants need replacing. And
So, and the water meters. Each house has a water meter. And we're talking about replacing all of the water meters, all that thing, and, you know, it would be, you know, you're looking at probably several $1 million. And so we have a grant to do the planning for that, which would, again, be too expensive for us to pay for the planning. So we've got two big planning grants that are probably $500,000 in the works right now, in addition to this sidewalk project. So anyway, we do have a lot of stuff going on, actually. One of the questions that I really wanted to ask people is, does anybody notice any difference in your water pressure since the water lines are done? Yes?
My shower head is a lot stronger than before.
So you have better water pressure?
Absolutely.
And where's your house?
On East Street.
E?
And Biola.
E and Biola, got it. Anybody else better?
Yes.
Where's your?
West D, off of 7. Right
West D, D and
7. Right up here, this is 7.
D and 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you write that down? Anybody else notice any difference? Okay. The other thing that I got a phone call on this week, and again, I haven't had a chance to tell you, there's a group that's looking to put in another apartment complex in Biola. So they're looking for a property to put in another 18 apartments. So that's FHA, Fresno Housing, the same guys that do these apartments. So we could have, like I said, another 18 apartments. So, but I wanted to go back to one of the things that Chuck said. And we were talking about parks, because we're also looking at a grant for a park. And again, grants go to places that have a plan and places that have their act together. And one of the things that we talked about was this very space that I think somebody mentioned. This property right here is downtown. It's a good location. It's close to residents. You know, right next to the alley right there, and right next to the grocery store and the pavilion. And so I actually wrote a letter to the owner of this property and asked them if they'd be interested. And so anyway, that's the one spot that seemed like the best. A smaller space that would be this one right here, and also good.
Wait, what happened to Barstow?
The one on Shaw and Third?
I thought we talked about Barstow because it's county owned, and they said they were going to...
You're talking about over here?
Gettysburg.
Correct, that paper strip right there.
Gettysburg.
Well, Gettysburg. This land right here that goes from 7th all the way to Bishop, actually, is the old railway line.
Right.
And when the railroad left in the 70s, they pulled it out, the county of Fresno took over the ownership of this land. This land is about 4.5 acres altogether, but it's two parcels. One parcel is like 200 feet right here. And then the whole rest of it is the other parcel. And I have no idea why it is. But we went to the county and asked them if they would give it to us for a dollar. And they said no. And the reason they said no is because our roads guys, the county yard, uses that, as you know, as a place to store dirt.
As a dump site.
Well, they call it the pit, is what they call it. But I said, okay, you guys can have the long piece for the pit. Why don't you give us the 200 feet? And part of the thinking was not for a park, because it's pretty small. And it's not the right place. I kind of agree with you. It's kind of the edge of town. I was thinking that in the future, if we needed another place to put a well,
we have two wells, one on Shaw and the one over on Howard. And if we needed another well in the southeast corner of town, that would be an ideal place to put it. And so if they give it to us, we'll put a fence around it and kind of mark it off until at such time in the future we needed a third well. But park-wise, I think that'd be a tough one. We own 5 acres of vineyard, yes.
Why don't we put the park there?
Well, again,
it's
this right here. This is owned, this whole section is owned by Biola Community Service District. And actually, what we're thinking about for there is a solar farm. Is that we pay right now about $70,000 a year for electricity. Because we have pumps that are going on these ponds that never stop. They go 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And then there are pumps on these ponds that go some of the time. They go as much as they're needed. But our electric bill out here is, you know, $4,000 a month, something like that. And then we have an electric bill for each of our wells. And then we have an electric bill for this building. And then we have the electric bill for all the streetlights. And, you know, but our big water bill, or electric bill, is here. And we have space. But our thinking is, if we didn't need, we also have this space right here. That's about 100 feet by 200 feet. And it's a big pile of dirt right now for when we dug out these ponds. And depending on how much we would need for solar panels, we might not even need to give up our grapes. But if we could, you know, if we had to, we could use this whole section right here. The other thing, too, that just so you know, the district owns this land also. It's about 4.5 acres right there, or 4 acres. And that's a ponding basin right behind Polycell. Yep, there is absolutely a possibility for that. But in our dreams, what we're thinking is, our bills are pretty high. One of the reasons the bills for the people that live in Biola are fairly high. We pay like $43 a month for sewer. Well, that's high. And so when I went to the state and said, we want you guys to fund us for this wastewater treatment plant, one of the things they're looking at is the possibility of reducing our bills for our community. That's part of the motivation, is to lower our sewer costs. I mean, it costs a lot of money to maintain that place, but we're still very conscious of how much you guys have to pay for water, sewer, and trash. It's a lot. Yeah. Dr. T.
I know that there's a lot of properties in Biola that no one does anything with. They're just sitting there, all that kind of stuff. No one wants to make a move. No one wants to get rid of. Is there any properties that are feasibly able to be garnered under eminent domain?
That is a really good question. What he asked was, are there other properties that are blighted properties and abandoned homes you're talking about?
Homes, or property, empty lots. There's some areas.
Well, I know that in cities, the city of Fresno has a big deal about neighborhoods where all the houses are boarded up and people abandon them, and there's all kinds of vandalism and things that go on there. Well, we don't have a lot of that. Most of our places are not abandoned. People live in them. But there are those one house, and one house over by Polycell that's been abandoned for a pretty long time. But we're the city, and so it's part of our responsibility to manage blight. And part of our conversation with grant people and others in trying to improve our community is to minimize and diminish things that could be considered blight, abandoned property.
That's just like the glass part.
Well, and that's been a source of frustration, this space over here. The old recycling plant is owned by a company out of Texas. We're a long way from Texas, and we're just kind of out of sight, out of mind, and they say the only reason they keep it around is the place to store recycling things from the Madera plant. That's the only reason they have even to keep that property. And so we're not particularly happy about that, but so we're, you know, what we'd like to be able to do is to, because actually there are some people that want to buy that and use it. Yeah.
You know, one of the suggestions that I've always thought of for a park was right behind this building here. Fence it off and put some bathrooms there and put some barbecue pits. And
our lot right here?
I mean, it's grass, it has tables there, it's shady. You know, if you go into a community, wherever, outside of town, you'll find at least a place, you know, in a small town to have a little picnic or something.
Well,
but it's big enough to have a...
You're talking about just outside that door.
Right here in the back.
There's the picnic tables, there's three picnic tables, and trees.
Actually, it's just roomy. I mean, it's not that...
Well, the reality of it is, this property, this building, and that park right there, was built in 1994 with state parks and recreation grant money. So it was built and designed initially to be used as a park, that space right there. There are some practical issues with doing it, but yeah, that's a really good thought.
If you fence it off,
what is
they
that,
can't
so?
Come into the, well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
That's part of the problem. It's locked, people are locked out.
They can't fence it for the building. That way they don't mess with anything around this building.
Well, when we were talking about a park before, though, we were talking about a place...
Well, something big and...
Well, but something that had picnic tables and a barbecue area and a play structure.
You don't need... That area would suffice about 100 people back there.
Yeah, it would.
That's, and yet it would make a little bit of extra cash.
Wow.
Well, you rent it out to a family event, you know, where they can use it and schedule it as a... a family reunion or something.
Well, one of the things we are going to try to do in the next year is to make this place more, to market this place more as a rental space for events. And that would be included, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Dean.
Dukas, thank you.
No,
that's not a bad idea, but what's the liability? You would take that up? This community, this building?
It would have to be under the liability of the district.
Yeah. No matter where you go.
No matter what.
If you have a community park, it's going to be under you guys.
Well, I know, but I mean, if you add something yeah. else to it, the liability would go this way instead of this way.
If you build a park down the street, you're going to have...
Well, we would have the liability for the park over there, too. Over there. It doesn't matter where the park would be. It's still going to be our liability. We'd have to deal with that.
What are the anchors that are covered to talking about for possible park?
I want to say I don't remember. I know it's four lots, but I don't recall.
Is that the Dower gas station?
No, the Schneider property.
What about the Dow Auto one right there on the corner? Would that make a good park?
Well,
the
other one that we looked at, she was talking about this piece right here, but we were also looking initially at this property here. This there. This is actually two pieces of property. The one along the alley.
Right next to the post office.
Next to the post office here. And then the building, and then this space right here. We talked about using that for a park. Owned by Mr. Delgado. And then he sold this one to another outside, out of towner last year. And so we had a chance to actually buy this for very, very cheap. But what we kind of thought, what good is this piece without this one? Because this is the one that had the most potential for a park. And then you could actually make this into like a little community center even. So anyway, that was one of the things we were thinking about. And then if we had the sidewalk, the new sidewalk project would be along here. And here.
That's a nice location.
It would be. We think that would be a good location. Right in the middle of things. Yeah. And what it does is it draws people into downtown. And we think that's a good thing. To bear to it's a community place. He's the one who wants to sell to us for homes,
huh? Yeah, so maybe it's still a part.
This piece of property is actually very gettable, but the problem is it's an old fuel station. There's a big fuel tank there, and it has environmental problems. So whoever owns it has to solve the environmental problem, and that's very expensive.
Didn't they say they relax those issues?
No. No. But we could do it. We could do it. We could buy that for almost nothing, and then it would take a lot of work to get grants to fix it, but we could.
You guys are the best ones to do it.
We probably are, and that would put us in a good position, potentially, to negotiate for the neighboring adjacent property at some point in the future.
Can we get a public swimming pool and a senior pool? Yeah.
A public swimming and a senior air conditioning?
Yeah. Hey, I'll go for that. Like a beach swell, but I'll go for that.
Talk about liability. No one pool. The other thing I really wanted to do to tell everybody is we got another event coming up. The Sheriff's Department sponsors an annual
National Night Out.
National Night Out. And that's coming up in like 2 weeks?
August 5th.
August 5th, Wednesday evening. And we wanted to make sure everybody was invited. But it's about, the focus is about crime reduction and communities coming together to say, you know, we're the good guys, and the good guys outnumber the bad guys, and we're not going to have crime in our town, kind of a thing. But there's going to be music, raffles, food, all kinds of stuff. We're going to have it at the pavilion, the old Viola Chamber of Commerce building on G Street on Wednesday night, August the 5th. And so we'll get notices out. But one of the things that we really, really, really wanted to make sure everybody had that on their calendar.
It's with the farmer's market.
And it's the same night as the farmer's market. Anyway, I want to really encourage people to come to that. And then the other thing, I wanted to get some feedback from you guys tonight. As you know, I'm pretty new in Biola. I've only been here since December, and so I'm learning a lot about Biola. But one of the things that it seems to me almost is that there's like two Biolas, the new section and the rest of Biola. And one of the things it seems like is that the new section is not as integrated into Biola as the older section of town. And is that just me? Am I wrong? Sir?
I was just going to bring that up. We have a lot of new Asian people in the new houses, and sometimes it seems like they're not really involved with stuff on the area.
Well, I want to make them feel welcome. And I wonder, because it seems to me that people are in Biola, but not of Biola, if that makes any sense. And so one of the things that we think that our job as the district, community service district, is to make people feel like this is one community. And the process of getting these grants and looking at parks and doing things to make people's lives better, to feel like this is one community and that we're all kind of, we're in this boat together. We want to row together. And it just seems like there's a section of town, the apartments and the new homes, that are less engaged. And so having said that, does anybody live in the new homes?
No, but every time I go to the post office and I see an Asian or a mom coming in or African American, I say, good morning or hello, you know, to kind of make...
You're an ambassador.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah,
I think it happens with every community. You've got the people in the outer outlying homes that grew up there. They raised their families there. These people are moved into these homes. They weren't from Biola to start out with. It makes a difference if you're from the community for your whole life. You know, I think Phil and Elaine are a prime example. They don't even live here, but they're here working in the town because their parents live here.
So that begs the question, though. That's a great, perfect observation. But so the question is, that's accurate. How can we engage to make the people who didn't grow up here, who just moved in 10 years ago, feel like they belong?
You look out of the glass.
No, I think it does have to do with history, because if you were, you know, are you not here, and Jim is correct. But I know the one thing with Chamberlain is that we have actually gone into the complex, actually walked in and knocked on every single door, word of mouth, in regards to the Raising Festival. And so a lot of times it's just the word of mouth, and those of us that are excited about the events, to go and share with them, and those of you that know them, to actually give them a little history about our city. And I think little by little that is happening, but it does take, you know, the knocking on the doors and being very vocal about it.
Yeah, so it serves.
I'm not from Biola, but I've been here, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, you're not from Biola. You're not here for the paycheck because that's so you're just adopting it, and that's the same thing that we have to get them to do. Because, I mean, we talk to you and says, okay, here it is, gave you the information. He says, yeah, it's great. Great call. I'm in. Well, that's the same thing we have to do there. It's just a matter of involving them and getting it out to them.
Lack of ownership.
So we need to make more connections.
I guess my question is, have you ever had a meeting over there at their center? Because they do have a little community center within that area, or in something over there where we can all kind of invade their space instead of
Great idea. Yeah. Well, there's what, 40 apartments in the Biola Village apartment. They have a very nice community center. No, actually, it's less.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not to mention that most of those kids, if not half of those kids, go to Kerman and not Biola.
You know, you were talking about National Night Out.
Yes.
And it's going to be held at the Pavilion. We have the new, I guess you call it, director of the Farmers Market. He's in the audience, Lalo Antunes.
Eduardo.
Well, I've known him since a boy.
He has a little one.
Eduardo is the Farmers Market director.
So, and we also have the lady from the Shaw Market. I don't know her name.
Though. That's right.
Yeah, so welcome.
Well, since we just put you on the spot, she and I have had some conversations about some of your plans for there. You want to share with the group what you guys are thinking you want to do there?
Okay, we are thinking like for a home there.
Excuse me, could you stand up? We can't hear you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We are trying to put a pump there on the corner.
A gas station?
No. Just for the water.
Oh.
To push the water to the basement.
Drink.
For the outside. And we are working on that one. and yes, we need to for the gas station there.
I'm glad you guys are there, because sometimes the little store, what we used to be able to go to, there's nothing wrong with the store, it's a nice store. The only thing that half of the men that are single are the ones that are holding up that building. So I feel kind of like, I'm old, but I still don't like anybody just staring.
Yeah.
Turn up the light.
Well, one of the things that she shared with me earlier is that if they don't find a way to get rid of all that water, then they have to put a ponding basin. And if you put a ponding basin in, you don't have any room to put a gas station. So they have to be able to unload that water in that bad puddle area. And so,
what did you do today, Glenn? Were you advocating today?
I was advocating for you with the engineers down there, telling them that we need to figure out. But they were wrong. There is no drainage in that A Street.
No.
The only drainage, you'd have to pump that all the way over to get rid of that water. It's a little further than we thought when we were looking at it earlier today. But yeah, we brought you guys up with the engineers down there.
Is Shaw the county road?
I think that's a county road. Honestly, I don't know.
Because, I mean, there's certain...
It might be a state road.
It's a state road.
State road?
Yes.
Yeah.
So could there be some funds to get to improve that right in there? Because of, you know, being that it's on the state road and there's safety issues and, you know...
Well, we went to the county and asked them to look at a couple of things. We asked them to look at putting a turn lane in on Shaw turning on 7th. You know, if you're coming Shaw this way and you want to turn on 7th and somebody's right behind you,
guess what?
It's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
And so they're actually going to take data. They're counting the cars and they're going to see if how many people turn and that kind of stuff to see if it's worth it.
Well, going west is the same problem.
That's what we're talking about.
From Shaw to turn left on 7th. I move over onto that
yes,
line.
Yes, going both directions.
Both directions. I move over in that line and they go around me.
But one of the things that's an issue with the store is if you go down Shaw, and there's like 5,000 cars a day that go past Biola on Shaw. 5,000. But it's very difficult if you want to go to Shaw Market coming off of Shaw and to follow the rules. So getting to that market from Shaw is part of the problem. And I don't know how they're going to solve that, but that's one of the things that the traffic guys at the county are working on that project, and that'll impact.
I think most of us are turning on Biola Avenue in order to get on the
side. Yeah, but I think they're talking that that's going to be a problem too. When I go, I just cut over the line. I cheat. And that's what I think most people do.
I do all the time.
But they don't, that's not what the county wants people to do. So I'm not sure how they're going to solve that problem. But it's a problem.
They're going to bring it to the first century.
They're going to try.
The county has to have a buy-in, because technically, them as property owners, they don't own that property. That's right away to the county. That's county easement to that. They don't own it. The county
right.
Should have a buy-in. I do realize, yes, the property owner should be, but the county can't just deviate and say, it's not our problem, you fix it. The county, I think, should pony up as well to say, hey, it's county right-of-way property, so let's at least pay for half.
Well, we're going to continue to advocate for that. We did ask the county if they would put in our population sign. That got done. We were pretty happy about that. But we also asked them to put a speed limit sign. People would drive slower, and they said, "Yeah, it's probably not." And then we also asked them for that property for a dollar.
Again.
Yeah, and so that's still maybe the little people. But
can I just share? The map's not up there, but that little piece of property is more important to the community than we realize. There's a big developer that owns 80 acres in that whole area that's going to be adjacent to that property. I know there's walnuts there now, but believe me, one day he's going to build there. When he builds there, and I'm talking about commercial frontage property, then in essence could be owned by the community, which in essence would be worth more as time goes along. Because regardless of what people think, Viola is going to grow. It's on the radar of these big developers. They know there's water here. It's going to grow. One of the issues about not being able to grow so quickly is the school can't handle more kids. Once they resolve that problem, you'll see more development happening in Viola. It's not going to be a little sleepy town anymore. It's one of the gems in Fresno County with water, and they know it.
Our water is good because we're so close to the river. That the water table is pretty high.
Here, can you illustrate again, if you don't mind, that 80 acres is
Steve.
I got a little Steven.
No, it's not ready.
Well, it's going to take a second to warm up.
And I think our next field trip should be to the school. I mean, this project's been in place since 2010.
They're working on the school right there on Grandland. It should have been there.
Yeah.
This school needs
I think
more.
We all need to go down there to their next meeting and say, look.
We want it now.
We want it, and we need it now.
Not we're going to turn the process.
When would be the next meeting?
I think it's the first and third Tuesday of the month.
But I think they got a special meeting, but I don't know if it's open to the public on the 18th.
Can you find out and then let us know?
Well, we would want to go on a regular meeting, yeah. And then we would just comments from the public.
Actually, we could put on the agenda, but I think it would be more powerful instead of just public comments.
Well, how that was possible.
Yeah. One thing that's very important, too, is the complexity of the Central Unified School Board has changed dramatically. our representative here from Viola is here in person. He attends some events in Viola. He's got to hear the ground what's going on. I think we can approach him anytime.
It's an awkward time a little bit because they're searching for a new superintendent right now. That's why they're having special meetings because they're interviewing superintendent candidates.
Mike Bird is retiring.
Correct. So, but they're interviewing. They're in the middle of interviewing his replacement.
You didn't apply to him, Jordan.
I did not. This, what Phil is talking about is this property right here. It's 80 acres, and they just planted...
I thought it was almonds. You think it's walnuts?
Walnuts.
Okay, so they just planted walnuts in here, and walnuts take 7 years before you even get a crop. But because we have water, and the guy that owns that... is the guy that owns Granville Homes.
Is that Viola Street?
This is Viola Street over here. Oh, yeah, that's Viola right there, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Viola and then Gettysburg. And then that's halfway between up to Bishop, and that's... What's that right there?
It's a cattle property.
I have a question. Is that considered, because I know the township of Viola is usually the 2 miles... there, but would those be actual Viola addresses?
Good question. No, they would not.
Okay, the next question.
Only 300 foot.
By the water district.
Well, here's what happens.
If that's the case, can they be encompassed into the Viola community?
What happens is there's the agency called LAFCO. What does that stand for? I can't remember what that will stand for. But anyways, it's the board that handles borders of cities and special services districts. And they had a meeting some years ago, and they defined where the sphere of influence of the Viola Community Service District is. And it goes somewhat into these vines over here, and it goes all the way over to Howard, and it includes this whole... Vineyard is in the Viola Community Service, and it goes to the other side of Shaw, north side of Shaw, and of course it takes in our sewer plant over here, and then it goes a little bit south of town. So what we would do is we would go to that board and say, we want to apply to expand the Biola Community Service District sphere of influence, so that we would want to stretch our sphere of influence all the way down to encompass this whole thing. Part of what Phil was talking about is that there's too many kids at Biola Elementary, so if they build a bunch of homes there, they can't go to school. So that's part of the problem, is that they're talking about the developer actually building, building another school in there. But, and then their deal about, you know, they would apply to us for their water and us for to get into our sewer system. So those are all pretty complicated things that are at some point in the future. But it's stuff we need to think about now.
Is it possible to, actually offer a little more money to the county for that property to go ahead and plan to do the pump there, so that when that community comes up, then you provide the water?
Yes. Well, we're not really negotiating over price. They don't care about it. They'll give it to us for a buck. They're just not in a hurry to do it. But yeah, we'll keep bugging them about it.
It's there.
Yes. They don't want to give stuff up.
The park, what about the little strip of property adjacent to the old theater?
Yes, we talked about that right here. Both the north side of that, of G, and the south side. Yes.
I think it's two.
I do. And that's owned by Rudy.
Ramirez owns
the theater and that lot. And this lot right here is owned by the Schneider family. It would be great. It would be great. So we can dream. And again, that's the kind of thing, because it would be a pretty good pot of money to do that. We need to go get a grant. But Ishmael Herrera, who is the, I don't know what his title is, but he works at Fresno State, where it's the California Rural Development. So his office works with communities like ours in the whole region to improve things. And so he's been a very important figure for Biola. He's been very supportive, and it's through the federal government, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, actually, has grants for this kind of thing. And that's like what we're talking about, and that's what we're planning to go for.
Since you were also talking about part of the sidewalk project being provided by the school district, and you were talking about maybe getting on the agenda and possibly us going there. But at the same time, my question would be, how much influence does the county board have? Because I know Ishmael is on that board to influence the Central Unified Board.
Not much. Israel's on the County Board of Education. Yeah, and they really don't have any, other than just whatever influence he has as an individual, his personal influence, because he's a.
But essentially, he's part of the county, though. I mean, I just thought it might happen a little bit.
Yeah, it would not hurt. That's a good point.
Another good ally that Biola has, and I don't know if everybody realizes, Brian Pacheco, the county supervisor. His wife sits on our chamber board, and our chamber, and she sold us anything we need from Brian's. She'll set up a meeting.
Well, he's Brian Pacheco's the guy that got those signs, and
yeah.
I mean, he's in office for a month,
yeah.
And he said he made it happen. So yeah, he's a big biology supporter. Well, that's where we started.
Did you ask
to donate
the contingent?
I did. I said, we'll name it after you. What better family legacy? What are you guys doing with it? Anyway, are there any other questions?
Well, the next Board of Trustee meeting for the school is July 28th. It's a Tuesday at 7 p.m.
July 28th at Central East.
Central East at 8.
Is the next school board meeting. All right, any other questions?
No.
Thank you so much for coming.
Central East.
July 28th, Tuesday, July 28th at 7 p.m.
When's 23rd.
We'll talk to Mr. Brown about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
No, there's something in between. Correspondences, announcements.
We do have a closed session item.
Yeah, okay. The 24th.
Oh, yeah.
25th.
The community cleanup. 25th of July. Right here.
And the office will be closed on Mondays.
Thank you. Dang it, my bad.
So what's the next thing? Are we out of here?
Closed session. August 20th, 2015. 7 o'clock.
An open session I want to show you on the screen.
I'm sorry.
I have one more open session item that I want to project.
Everybody left already.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
I got two photographs I want to show you.
Okay.
Right behind. Two.
I can't see.
Oh, the airplane.
We had a problem yesterday.
Oh, God.
Okay, this is standing in our wastewater plant looking back. That's Actagro, looking east. Okay, let me show you the other photo. Okay, this is standing looking north. 1929, they put this weir in, and over here, there's our fence. There's Salwasser's property to the north, okay? And they have another one just like it. When we water our vines next to the waste, the water only gets there because they either pump it from their pump to here or they get it ditch water from over by Shaw, right? And they pump it down to here. Then it goes underneath their road, underneath our fence, underneath our road, into this little weir. But you'll notice that's a wooden retainer wall. Well, what happens, let me go back to the other picture. Wait, maybe I can just go like this. Yes, what happens is this wooden retainer wall, this water fills up and water leaks where that wood hits that concrete and it washed out. And there's a tunnel under this road, and it flooded this whole area so much so that okay, here's ours, here's theirs, and that's why I think there used to be the railroad line ran right between there.
Yeah,
I'm guessing. But what happened is it flooded, and it flooded this whole area, flooded all the way down to here, and then it ran over our road, under the fence, and started flooding their road.
Oh, wow.
So, what's today? Thursday, Wednesday, this was Tuesday night. So Carlos, our guy, shows up Wednesday morning, and there's water everywhere. Kerry Salwasser, who's farming ours, so I called up Salwassers. And Charlotte explained to me before I got hold of Kerry that Fresno Irrigation District gave them ditch water, which in this year is like rare, never happens. You don't get a chance to get ditch water. So they only had it for so many hours. So they're going, we want to get as much of that ditch water to the BCSD vines as we can. And so in the process of scrambling to get ditch water through here, it was a disaster. So I get Kerry and Memo, her husband, who was doing the irrigating, over to this morning, and we stood out here and going, oh, what's going on? So in the process, though, we're kind of going, wait a minute. Why in the world do we have a wooden retainer wall? And then Kerry goes, well, you know that's a Fresno Irrigation District
weird. That's their problem. They're supposed to fix this. They should be fixing this. So I sent these photographs to the manager. Oh, so she called the ditch tender, Doug, who came out to our place and looked at all this and said, yeah, that looks like that 1929 stamp there. That looks like one of ours. And so he was going to take it back to the Fresno Irrigation District, his bosses, and find out what's going on. And so in the meantime, I sent these photos to the manager of the Fresno Irrigation District because I've met him at a number of these meetings I've been going to. So he knows who I am, and I know who he is. But he's at the top of the food chain over there. And if anything's going to happen, it's going to end up going through him. Because somebody's got to take this, put a concrete wall in here. Either us or them. Because we can't live like this. This is not a solution. But in the process of looking at that, we discovered another problem. Because what happens is, the water comes into here, and that big white pipe that's at the bottom of that puncture, it goes to here, and then it goes to here.
That's underground.
All underground. Okay? Well, this is like a corrugated metal standpipe, or kind of it's a big deal. And instead of that concrete, and it's just a big pipe. Well, the water goes into that thing, and then goes underneath the fence over to the vines. Then it goes up to a pipe up here, and they have a pipe, or we have a pipe that goes along the edge of these vines, and then it's all flood irrigated. But that's how the path of the water gets there. Well, there's a bunch of washed out stuff over here too. Well, what's up with that? Well, it turns out there's a hole in that. Oops, wrong way. Wait a second. Oh, I guess I didn't download it. I took a picture of that one too. But there's a hole in that metal standpipe. And so when water gets in there, it rushes out and then floods into our vine. So anyway, we've got some problems that are pretty significant that need fixing. And my conversation with Memo and Carrie is, I don't care whose fault this is that we have a lake over here. You know, it's the second time this has happened. Today's not the first time it's washed that out. It had already been washed out. And so in talking to Jared about this, is how to solve this problem, Jared's going, what we need is somebody with a skip loader. You know, with a front scoop. And we've got that giant pile of dirt over there that we can take from to fill that. You know, so we're going to have to collapse that deal, fill it all in, and then regrade it, that road that's washed out right here, this thing. Because it's kind of dangerous to walk on there. It's going to collapse. You certainly can't drive anything.
That's not a pond next to it, is it?
That's now, the flooded. That's from the flood.
Oh, that's just from the water.
That's flooded. From yesterday.
Okay.
It's a pond now. It's it's right now. It's starting to recede a little bit, but it was a lot of dang water in the wrong place. All because it went through that little gap. Memo actually put some plastic in there and jammed the dirt in as it finally got it to stop. But that is an absolute short-term crappy solution. Pardon my language. So anyway, I can't believe it's 2015. That thing's been there since 1929.
That's probably been there.
Well, that lumber hasn't been there since 1929.
Well, I'm thinking, I can't believe we've gone this long and it haven't fixed this. And we still have a wooden retaining wall. Why in the world would we have a wooden retaining wall? But apparently it's worked well enough up to now. But the Fresno irrigation guy told me, he says, their guys do that. They do, if we wanted a contract with them, but they're in the business of putting in concrete retaining walls when we get to that point.
What are you going to do with the pipe?
Well, we still need the pipe. We'll have to just go put the wall around it. That pipe gets the water to our vineyard.
Yeah.
right there.
Is that a metal pipe?
That's a plastic pipe.
Yeah, I was saying, does that need to be replaced too? Plastic?
I don't know. On the other side, it's actually broken.
Yeah.
But that isn't the biggest problem. The problem is the hole in the metal. The metal standpipe that's washing out our...
Because if we put cement over it, it could probably collapse it and crack it even more, and then we'd have to do it all over, so...
They should be able to do that without...
They probably put some kind of a coupling over it, though, for the cement form.
Yeah. Guys who know what they're doing should be able to solve that. But anyway, I wanted you guys to know this, and that's not a closed session conversation.
That's about 200 foot of pipe to replace, wouldn't that be? From
I don't want to replace the pipe. The pipe's not the problem.
I believe in what Gary said.
Say again?
It's FID's problem.
I think it is FID's problem, but it's one of those deals where, because our gates are always locked, they didn't know anything about this. Nobody ever, no one who's on their staff has ever even seen this.
Well, you know, the thing about it is there's one on the outside.
There's one on Saltwasser's property.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's going to go somewhere.
Well, I know, but they never had a reason
to go
onto our property to look at our deal. I don't know what they've got over here.
Well, they haven't been there since 1929, probably.
Well, we put this in what, 62? 60s?
Somebody put
that in 29, you're right.
Yeah.
But again, that was when I think there was a train track here.
Yeah.
Anyway, all those footprints are memos.
Okay.
But
he loved that.
I think he was kind of nervous. Runaway water.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it's hard to...
He was probably blaming his father-in-law.
I think they were really afraid that we were going to just start blaming them. And I said, I don't care about blaming. Blaming doesn't get you anywhere. I want to solve the problem. But the bottom line is this happens. It's happened before when they irrigate. And it's a simple enough solution. It just takes some attention on our part.
So do they get their water though? Or just
they got dishwater, but they only had it for that amount of time, and it ran out. I mean, it got cut off.
Okay.
So they had it.
It was actually a blessing
that way they don't have to pump.
Right, they don't have to pump. They don't have the expense of the electric and all of that. So anyway, okay. Well, we just have a couple of closed session or one closed session item, and. That's it. I know these comfortable chairs make you able to go much longer.